Again, we have with us Jason Welker and Ryan Wells from the city of Sandpoint. And I guess let's start out with, we want to talk about the James E. Russell Sports Center. Give us a status report on where we're at the moment. And then we want to meet Ryan since he's relatively new as the facilities director.
Sure. Thanks, Chris. Thanks, Susie. So the James E. Russell Sports Center at Traverse Park, as most people know, was a gift that it was built with a gift from the family of James E. Russell, who was a 1956 Sandpoint High School graduate, Sandpoint Bulldog football player, went on to play football at University of Idaho, and had a very successful career in the defense industry. When he passed in 2019, one of his wishes was that his widow and his son come back to Sandpoint, which they've called home for their entire lives as well, off and on. They're residents of Snug Harbor, just west of town. They wanted to come back to Sandpoint and make a donation that could be put towards youth sports, and an indoor sports center was the ultimate outcome of that gift.
And this is a big donation.
It's the largest donation ever made to a municipality in the history of Idaho.
$7.5 million.
Yeah, $7.5 million. By the time the project was completed last December, with interest, we had seen that donation grow to $8 million, and that $8 million went into the construction and improvements to Traverse Park that we see today. We have almost a 40,000 square foot indoor space there. When you mentioned the bad air quality, there's one great place in town where anybody can come in and get some exercise or play their favorite court or paddle sport right now, where the air quality is always good. We have a great air filtration system there. And even on the smokiest days last week, it was quite nice inside the James E. Russell Sports Center. So we opened last December. The city has, we've learned a lot, I would say, in our experience over the last year in how to operate an indoor sports center. The city of Sandpoint we run on a pretty thin staff at City Hall. We don't have a huge recreation division. At our peak, we've employed two or three recreation professionals at the city. And finding somebody that had the right kind of mentality, experience, know-how, relationship building, management abilities to operate an $8 million sports center was challenging in the first 6 months. And we just hired Ryan Wells here, sitting next to me, in May or June of this year to come in and, kind of take over the helm at the sports center. So I do really want to recognize Ryan, because in the last 3 months since he started, we've seen a real turnaround there in terms of use, membership, uptake, activities, programs. We've run 6 weeks of youth programs over the summer. Each week was sold out. That's exactly the kind of energy and opportunities that we envisioned when we, took this donation and embarked on this journey to build the region's first public indoor sports center. So Ryan joined us in June this year. He is a member of the primary user community, as a former pickleball club board member in the area, has great connections, great relationships, decades of managerial experience, and a real passion for building relationships with the community, providing a welcoming, warm environment for people to come in and learn about the activities that we're offering, the events, the programs, tournaments, all those sorts of things. So I do want to let Ryan talk a little bit more about what he's been working on the last 3 months. There's a lot of exciting changes that have happened at the sports center. Completely new membership model, new software, loads of programs, activities, tournaments are coming up. And part of his vision was having this kind of grand opening. We never really had a grand opening of the sports center. We had a private ribbon cutting ceremony last November or December. We had the open house at the Turkey Trot last November on Thanksgiving. But that was before we even opened. That was just for the chance for the public to come in and get a glimpse. Mm-hmm. But we haven't had an actual grand opening event. So Ryan will be talking about the upcoming grand opening event for not just the sports center, but for several other exciting park improvement projects that are finally wrapping up after 2 years of construction at Traverse Park. Mm-hmm. So I'll talk a little bit more about the other projects that we're finishing up at Traverse Park after Ryan has a chance to talk a little bit about his work at the James mm-hmm. Russell Sports Center.
Okay. Well, Ryan, thanks for being here. And let's actually start out with, tell us a bit about your background.
Well, thanks, Chris.
You're not new to town.
I'm not new to town. I moved up from Coeur d'Alene 30 years ago. The mill was still downtown. You know, this was not the recreation community that it is now. It
right. Was, yeah, the mill was where a Super One is now.
Correct. Yep. This was a logging town, mm-hmm. and it has changed a lot in the last 30 years. So I've been witness to that. I have been involved with the community for a very long time. When I first transferred up, the first thing I got involved with was search and rescue. Did that through the different organizations that we had before it became part of the Sheriff's Department again. I was a charter member of the Pondere Rotary Club, and I'm still very active with them. And I've been a Elk for a very long time, played golf in the league out there for almost 30 years since I moved up here as well. So the connections to this community are strong, and I think that's one of my strengths in this job is that I know a lot of user groups and a lot of people here. So my wife has been an educator, so she is very connected as well in a different fashion. My kids, born and raised in Sandpoint, went through Bonner County Schools, and one went off to UW and the other went off to University of Idaho. And so we hope to get them back someday, but like a lot of the kids in this area, you know, the opportunities are few and far between to come back, and they're looking forward to that someday as well. But for now, I had, like Jason said, run management, big box retail, traveled around, been very active in multi-million-dollar facility management, and had thought about retiring, kind of settling down and enjoying what we have to offer here. And this opportunity came up, and, you know, it a lot of us had seen what was happening at James E. Russell and wanted to see it flourish. You know, it certainly has every opportunity in the world to do that. And so it was not a hard decision for me to jump in and just get the community out. You know, that was the thing that I think we really didn't connect well with the community at first. And so now we have lots of people coming in the door, and it's amazing to see people almost on a daily basis walking through the door and going, wow, this place is amazing. You know, and it's been there for a few months now. So getting people in that door is my focus. And once they're in, it's very easy to keep them there. So that's a very big positive. So I'm enjoying my first few months and looking forward to kind of where we're headed.
I'd say we're kind of coming into the high season for the use of that facility. People will be going indoors quite a bit more. Well, tell us about some of the operational changes that Jason just mentioned.
Certainly. As Jason mentioned, you know, we kind of did some ribbon cuttings. We got some people in the building on a few different occasions, but we've never really done a formal grand opening like you would expect, you know, a business or a facility of this size to do. And, you know, bringing in the manufacturers of sporting goods equipment and the different things like that, coaches, pros, all the things you would think of when you think of a building this size with, you know, four world-class tennis courts and 14 pickleball courts and what we are able to achieve in there, you know, a lot of people are interested in supporting that. And so getting everybody together under one roof on one day is going to be an important thing to launching a lot of what we've been working towards. When I first went there, it was, okay, we have a great facility, world-class facility. We didn't have the operations that really facilitated a lot of people coming and going at a quick amount of time and turnover and, you know, managing the courts and that type of thing. And so the first thing I did was focused on a new software that's much easier to use and much more widely recognized by the racket sports community. Both pickleball and tennis use a software called Court Reserve. It's a free app. Doesn't cost anyone anything to use it, and they can just book courts with their phone, with their computer, see what's there, organize games with their friends, organize leagues, just super easy, super visible. And so we basically launched that the beginning of the month, so we're on day 10 of that. We brought 60 members over from the old software, and we've already doubled that in the first 10 days. So the traction that we'll be able to gain from this software called Court Reserve is super helpful to where we're going. It will allow us to do tournaments, and coaches will be able to use it. Pros will be able to schedule lessons, any of that type of thing. And it's just a very visible, intuitive app on your phone, or you can use your computer. But that's what the racket sports users are used to. The USTA uses it in their facilities, so it's a very high-level software that just plug and play, click, hey, let's go play and meet up, and it's a great way to do that. So that was the first thing we did was launch that software. And then The programming is the next step. Jason mentioned our youth program. We started a little bit late on that. We didn't have as many coaches as we needed for the amount of people who wanted to join in. And once we had a couple great coaches, we had full classes, and the kids absolutely loved being in there. We had them in there every morning from 8 to 12. And as we were wrapping up, the parents came up and they said, can we have some more? You know, we need more of this. The kids, we got summer left. What's going on? And so we went back to the coaches, who both had to leave to go to school, and said, can you guys give us two more weeks? And they loved doing it, and they jumped in, and we threw two more weeks on the schedule, and they immediately booked out. So we're really looking forward to that. They both want to come back for a Christmas session, you know, and do stuff over their Christmas break. And then I think much earlier next year, we will launch a very robust kids program for summer.
This is tennis.
This is tennis. Mm-hmm. Pickleball is following right behind. Mm-hmm. The first thing was to get the tennis kids in there. Like Jason said, there's thin staff and sometimes, and so rolling all this at once, the software, the grand opening, all those different things we've got going on, we're doing it right and just moving forward at a pace that we can handle. But I know that with what we have just in the court reserve alone, we can see every morning. I fired up my phone this morning and see a bunch of people booked in there this morning. So that's fantastic to see people already using that. And I think that will be a big positive.
There is the question of revenue coming in to support all the different aspects of cost. There's heating in the winter, whatever those costs are, staffing. How is that being looked at in a new way to help manage that?
We're 9 months in now, almost 9 months since we opened, and we've got some better metrics and, you know, data on the expenses of operating the facility. I just created some charts for council last week, and we've seen that obviously our utility bills have come down quite a bit. Not surprising. The heating the building is actually one of the largest expenses in the winter. Staffing, of course, is the largest. Ryan's going to talk a little bit about what we're doing in the next few weeks to try to reduce some of our staffing costs. But the goal within the year is going to be cost recovery for the sports center. Any public sports facility achieving full cost recovery, by which I mean your revenues completely cover your expenses, is extremely unusual. They're called public facilities because, just like most things provided by the public, they're not expected to make profit or to necessarily cover all their costs. None of our other sports facilities in Sandpoint, besides the Sandpoint Marina and the RV park, cover their costs of operations or expenses. For example, all of our outdoor fields, our shooting range, the shelters that we operate, the community hall, I mean, the most beloved public facility in Sandpoint. I won't tell you how much taxpayers subsidize use of the community hall, but it's the revenue we make from private rentals at community hall come nowhere close to covering what it costs just to clean that building every year. So the sports center being almost 40,000, you know, square feet in size and needing at least two people at a time working there between Ryan and a front desk person, and then heating and the utilities and all the equipment that we have to upkeep, the costs are significant. But fortunately, we have a recreation fund in the city of Sandpoint. This is a dedicated fund. A very small portion of tax revenues go into the recreation fund, about 4.5%. And that fund is intended to support recreation in Sandpoint. So this is a recreation facility. Currently, it is being supported by the recreation fund. The closer we can get to full cost recovery, in other words, breaking even in terms of our revenues and our expenses, the more those other recreation dollars can go back towards other recreation programs that we want to start offering again in the city. So Ryan's the right man for this job. He comes from the private sector, where cost recovery is absolutely required, right? That was one of our challenges with finding the right person in there, finding somebody who had that kind of business-oriented experience of managing large facilities and operations. Ryan's been looking very close at our bottom line. He's looking close at our expenses. He'll talk about our volunteer program, which are going to help bring down some of those expenses while also expanding operations and increasing revenue opportunities.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, to your point, you shouldn't necessarily expect that the facility would pay for itself. Because we provide recreation programs as a very, I think, important amenity for our residents, right?
Absolutely.
It's great for the kids. It occupies kids. It gives them healthy healthy activities to pursue.
And I will say there are some things we're doing that definitely aren't helping the bottom line, but are what we consider essential services for the community. And this also has to do with the wishes of the donor, the family that made the donation. The sports center has been and will always remain free for youth. That's a really important one. 18 and under will have access to free memberships, free reservations, can come play for free. Any child 12 or under, we ask to be accompanied by an adult. We don't want it to become a madhouse in there with, you know, 9-year-olds running around. But any youth of any age can come in and play for free. If they have an adult with them, they can play at any age as well. The adult doesn't have to pay. They can come just supervise their kid playing. But yeah, free memberships for kids. That's something we're doing that's definitely not helping our bottom line. Mm-hmm. There are a lot of youth tennis players in this community. We could be charging them, but we it's just one of the values that we embraced early on, was that this facility should be and will always be free for youth. Mm-hmm.
I think what you said, a community such as ours, based on recreation and this beautiful place we live, needs to have things like this mm-hmm. to offer to our community and to our visitors. Yeah. It makes who we are what we are, yeah. kind of.
I wonder, is there, kind of getting off track here because I want to get back to some of Ryan's points, is there any measure of, you know, tourists, visitors using the facility?
Brian can talk about that. Absolutely. Okay.
Certainly. And, you know, whether you count them as tourists or visitors, but our snowbirds are certainly huge users. You know, we have a lot of people coming to town. You know, the festival was a great example of that, where we had, you know, people in town for a week or 2 weeks during that window and saw people in there we've never seen before. So, you know, my goal and how do I connect with those people? How do I let them know? And Court Reserve is a great way to do that, because a lot of them use that and they look it up. But just the ability to connect with these people, pickleball for one, you know, you can travel with a paddle in your, you know, suitcase, and it doesn't take up a lot of room. So a lot of these people are very used to looking for a game or going down to City Beach or whatever it is. And for them to be able to find JR and know that there's good play in there is really important. So that is going to be a big percentage. And we hope that those people will carry a lot of the weight of the financials in that building. We want to make local community people the lowest price possible. And the people that are coming in from out of town will pay what they expect to pay at any facility, you know, on the West Coast. Mm-hmm. And so they have no problem doing that. This is a facility that compares to anything they've ever been in. Mm-hmm. So price to them really isn't an option that they're worried about. So having them carry a little bit more of the financial burden for that place is exactly what we're looking for. So mm-hmm.
Well, one of the programs we're talking about launching this winter is a partnership with Schweitzer. Obviously, Schweitzer brings in some cases, thousands of out-of-town visitors per day in the winter, hundreds of thousands throughout the ski season or up on the mountain. How many of those people buy a, you know, $150 lift ticket, are done, their legs are burnt out by 1:30 or 2 in the afternoon, but they're not quite ready to leave town. They want to kill a couple hours before they go out for dinner in Sandpoint on the way back to Coeur d'Alene or Washington or wherever they're coming from. So also guests at the lodges up at Schweitzer. So I've actually met with the management up at Schweitzer and pitched the idea of having flyers, perhaps, that with a valid lift ticket, you get a $5 discount on a play session at the James E. Russell Sports Center. We want to really attract some of those winter recreationalists who, let's be honest, probably aren't skiing for 8 or 9 hours up at Schweitzer. Most mm-hmm. people who come to town, it's too foggy, it's raining, they don't know how to ski powder, whatever it is. There's all sorts of reasons they want to come down to town and do things. There's not a whole lot to do in Sandpoint in the winter before the restaurants open up for dinner. So we want to be that, you know, 2 to 5:30, 2 to 6 p.m. Venue where skiers can come down who are in town. They're ready to spend money. They want to come experience what we have to offer. What a great way to come in a warm place. It's almost like getting sunshine on a cloudy day in the winter, because we have the best lights in there. As we say, it's always sunny inside the James E. Russell Sports Center. So come down, play some pickleball, play some tennis, go out to dinner at a local restaurant. Maybe you get a little discount if you have a valid lift ticket. That's something we're working on for this winter.
It seems like there'd be an opportunity with their multi-day guests on the mountain.
Oh, absolutely.
Because yeah. you're up there and you're skiing, but you want to do some other things too. Yeah. So yeah. They want to go explore town. It's not on the spot bus route.
It's not on a spot bus route. That's true.
Yeah, it's something yeah. maybe to work yeah. towards the as good, well.
The good news is people who play pickleball want to play every day.
Yeah.
They love to play.
Yeah.
Yeah. And they're always hunting out places where they can do that. And this is an ideal situation in our town.
Yeah.
So will we see after school programs this winter in there?
Certainly. We are talking with LPOSD already, and we're going to start by getting their staff in there. We were able to offer a low-cost option to LPOSD employees. So that will be the first step. But I don't know if you know, in Washington, they made it the official state sport, pickleball. And so if you're a kid in a Washington school, you play that in PE. We're getting a little spillover from that here, but it's just such an easy sport for kids to pick up, even if they aren't very athletic. You know, ping pong is something we all can do, and this is a little bit bigger version of ping pong. And then if those kids spill over into tennis, that's fantastic too. And so after school programs, we've already talked to, we had the Strikers in there. They play a game called futsal. It's a ball that's basically a squishy soccer ball. So it's a lot safer to use in that facility, but it's comes from South America. You know, it's just a different level of the sport that gives kids a lot more training on how to touch and move quickly with this little bit softer ball. And so the girl Strikers came in and did a 2-hour session to see what it was like on that facility. Mm-hmm. Because if we can do something that is not hard to switch in and out back and forth from tennis to pickleball to, you know, soccer, that's something we're definitely looking at doing. And so they came in that after school hour, you know, from 3 to 5, had a blast in there. So the other cool thing is that program will start up right after tennis. So, you know, we have the tennis kids in there, obviously, for the high school. And if you guys ever want to see something fun, come watch the tennis kids practice in there. It's just an amazing thing to see them, you know, blasting around that building. And they've got such a great program, and it's fun to watch, you know, them out there playing on all four courts and that whole building mm-hmm. filled with the tennis team. So mm-hmm. We'll roll that out right after the tennis kids are done. But
I want to ask a question here. So I know that I'm not connected to the tennis community, but I've been kind of watching the stories on Pepper Rickert.
Yep.
Because she's been just having an amazing high school career.
Correct.
Is she kind of like a Caitlin Clark for our town? You know, the kids get all enthused because they see a young tennis player having so much success.
Certainly. And, you know, the amazing thing is she's doing that in her sophomore year, right? She's got 2 years left. Yeah. And so she's playing against, you know, girls that are, you know, seniors or freshmen in, you know, their college career, whatever. So
and she's going to tournaments and not losing a game, right?
Correct. Well, and
it's,
and
it's incredible.
Yeah.
You know, just to watch her there, we had one of my coaches was a high-level player, male player. And, you know, he said, hey, are you playing with Pepper? You know, his head kind of goes down a little bit because he just, you know, goes out there and she just smokes him, you know? And it's like to watch a sophomore, you know, high school student, you know, play at that level is just tremendous. And so that's a beautiful thing about this facility. We have one state banner hanging in there already. You know, she's undefeated in her, you know, high school career. So how many more state banners are we going to get, Jason? You know, it's
goodness, yeah.
I think that this is a really cool thing. And that facility is designed to host, you know, state level tournaments. And so do we get, you know, our own state championship up here soon? Hopefully, you know, what can we do? But Pepper's amazing. And, you know, her grandpa is one of our top tennis mm-hmm. coaches in the area. And so Kent is very connected to our tennis community as the, you know, high school coach and that type of thing. So it's just it's a great connection to that building, and to see her coming up in there is fantastic.
Mm-hmm. So when you say there's room for tournaments and folks to come in and watch some of this incredible tennis stuff going on or whatever, where are the seating? Where is the seating? I've been in there and I didn't notice any seating.
So right now, we put people around the perimeter. There's a blue curtain, you know, that kind of runs around. There's a walking path that goes all the way around there. I'll touch on that in a moment. But through that curtain, there is a panel that you can kind of see through. And then at both ends, we have a little bit better seating now. Ultimately, the atrium there was designed as that seating area, more of a community space, that type of thing. I have a donor who's interested in, you know, 50% match to get that finished out. That will be something we look at in the future. When you look at these big tennis centers, the ones the USTA run, different things like that, that atrium is a large community space. You get done playing tennis or pickleball, go up, have some lunch, you know, hang out with your friends. But that viewing space will be important down the road. Right now, we're able to put people, you know, along the edges and have some seating in there.
He's referring to the mezzanine area above the lobby. So currently that's an unfinished area up there, but it could be in the future. You know, stairs and elevator could be put in to provide another, oh my gosh, it would be like 3,000 or 4,000 square feet of viewing area overlooking a tennis court. So that's something we plan to do in the future. We don't have the funding for it right now, but as Ryan said, there might be donors interested in supporting a build out of our mezzanine.
Yeah, I was curious about the future as far as expansion, because this is the beginning, mm-hmm. and there's always want for more.
Yeah, sure.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to get the court reserve right now.
There you go.
What do you play, Chris?
Well, I'm a potential player.
There you go.
Oh, you want to recruit, you're learning, you got to build the community. Huh?
Well, actually, I used to play tennis a little bit. But I've only played pickleball once in my life. I have a bunch of friends that play it. So
it's a blast.
It's fun.
It is. Yeah. On the smoky weekend, you know, my family was trying to avoid inhaling too much of that smoke. So around 2 o'clock on Saturday afternoon, when the smoke was at its peak, we all piled on our bikes. Actually, it was at 1 o'clock because the facility closed at 2 on Saturday. But we buzzed down and we grabbed a court, and myself, my wife, my daughter, and our 10th grade exchange student played an hour of pickleball. Three of them had never played before. So we had ChatGPT out with the rules and we're making sure everybody understood, but we had a blast. And it was one of those things where within 5 minutes, everybody was volleying the ball over the net. It's not, you know, tennis is much harder. The learning curve is much harder for tennis, but pickleball is just a sport that anybody who's ever picked up a ping pong paddle knows the basics of pickleball. So it was a great way to spend an hour on a Saturday afternoon to get out of that smoke.
Mm-hmm.
And of course the kids were free. So we paid for my wife and myself, and relatively cheap.
So Ryan, you were talking about the fact you had some soccer kids in there.
Mm-hmm.
Are there other sports you anticipate getting in there?
So we have in route a floor covering, let's call it a system. Basically, it's 7 panels of a plastic coated flooring that we can put out over a court. Just after I got in there, we had a cornhole tournament. We had a weekend that a bunch of people had booked down at City Beach for a big tournament, and the weather turned. It was one of those crazy storms that we had. And they called me last minute and said, can we relocate at JR? And it was amazing. We had 100 people in there throwing cornhole bags. And from that, we've spawned 3 new tournaments just in that alone. So something like that is super easy to set up. They use the community room. I'll hit on that a little bit too. We have a beautiful community room that has a big roll-up door that connects to that large atrium that's outside. They set up, they brought in food, had the whole day. And so we had tennis and pickleball players coming and going that whole day on the other 3 courts, which is also 10 pickleball courts. And every one of them stopped and watched. And this is the coolest thing. You know, this is something that they all supported as well, because they knew that was something that, you know, come in, set it up in the morning, take it down at night. But they had, you know, the whole first tennis court was a cornhole event. And what I didn't know is that the baselines of tennis are the exact same width as cornhole. So you just line the boards up all the way along the tennis court, and it was really cool to watch. And so we've got a couple more booked for this fall, and then a big one for the spring. But that's a really easy multi-use that we can do. And, you know, people are looking for an indoor space, and cornhole is the perfect size for, you know, taking over a tennis court for sure.
And that requires... That doesn't require you to use a floor covering.
We did use a floor covering for that, because the boards move on the tennis court a little bit as the bags hit it. And so it leaves little wood marks. And so we put down little carpet areas under that. But the floor covering that we roll out, you know, if people are out there with some food or snacks or whatever, keeping that building really clean is important to tennis and you know, using it as a sports facility. So this product that we'll be able to roll out and roll in will eliminate us having to do a lot of cleanup after, you know, an event like this where you have 100 people on a court for 6 hours. Mm-hmm. So that will be really easy and helpful to that. But, You know, I met with the Bonner County Coalition for Health yesterday. The amount of, you know, intellectual capital in that health group on what they want to bring into there, and we could do this and that, and, you know, bringing in the walk with the doc and all those different things. That's where I'm really focused right now on is what outside the box programming can we do? We have Court Reserve gives me a really cool court utilization report. And so I can tell where my gaps are, you know, in use and when people are in there, when they're not. And if we have some time coming up that is not going to be very booked, start engaging with these groups and saying, hey, you know, what can we do? Cornhole's an easy one. You know, the things we've already tried, but there's a lot of different people who could use that facility. Tennis court, Cass came in from Marigold and said a tennis court could seat 300 people for a sit down dinner. And so you think of one quarter of your building, you know, could be a sit down dinner of that level, is pretty amazing. So that's where we're kind of thinking outside the box and looking at all these different things. But, the multi-use is big on that.
Yeah. The court covering that's actually, I think shipping this week will allow us to put tables out, host events. We have a PA system. You know, there's only one event space in town that can seat more than 200 people, and that is the fairgrounds. We're coming for you, Bonner County. The James G. Russell Sports Center provides absolutely far superior facility for that. Okay, I take it back. We're not coming for you, Bonner County. But we do believe that the fairgrounds provides a great alternative to, or sorry, the Sports Center provides a great alternative to the fairgrounds. It's a little bit newer. We got better lighting. It's a very clean facility. We've got the community room as well.
Okay, I'm going to throw this out there because I've played volleyball at the fairgrounds.
Sure.
And obviously, volleyball, basketball has a crunch for space as well.
Yeah.
And well, you heard this from me before, Jason.
It's funny you mentioned that. My daughter switched after day one from cross country at middle school to volleyball. I had to take her to Big Five and buy her some knee pads. And then I was playing pickleball with her on Saturday. I said, Libby, do you think you could play volleyball on this surface? She's like, of course, why not? We're kids. We can play volleyball anywhere. So it is something we've looked at. There are systems that allow you to drop volleyball nets right into the same court sleeves as the tennis nets. So it's something we want to look into. The question is that a suitable surface? I think when you get to a competitive level of volleyball, sliding and diving on that kind of sandy, rough tennis court surface is really risky. Knee pads help, but we're not sure if for competitive volleyball it would ever be feasible, but for recreational volleyball, certainly could look into it.
And
so that's one of the sports we're looking at.
The basketball kids in town play outside all the time on asphalt.
I've played basketball on every surface known to man.
Yeah, right.
You can play basketball on any surface.
Yeah. So, I mean, that could be something you try out before any big investment in some kind of court surface you can roll out.
Chris is always a big advocate for basketball space.
I wondered when he's going to mention that, actually. One of the things I think about is this center, the James E. Russell Center, is sort of setting a precedent. It doesn't mean that a few years down the line, there wouldn't be the opportunity to set up a indoor basketball, volleyball court in another place or next door.
Sure.
Because it's showing that this community wants that kind of thing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So,
before we run out of time here, you want to do a station ID here,
Susan? Sure. This is 88.5 KRFY, your community radio. For our listeners, you can call us at 208-265-2992. At any point in time, we'll return your call, or you can go to krfy.org and make a donation on our webpage, because this is listener-supported community radio for North Idaho.
And we're talking this morning with Jason Welker and Ryan Wells from the City of Sandpoint. We're talking about the James E. Russell Sports Center. And Ryan, as the recreation facility supervisor, your proper title there, tell us more about the event you have coming up that's going to be a grand opening, basically, if you got more planned out at this time.
Yeah, so to that, and then I'd love to touch just really quickly on our volunteers.
Oh, yeah.
So the grand opening will be Saturday, October 4th. We are planning on doing both the pickleball / tennis event, and then we will have the alternative space set up. We'll get some cornhole going in there, just some different things, so people can have kind of the full look at the building. And the the part of membership that Jason was talking about too is to have our, you know, kind of full membership program rolled up and ready to go, and Court Reserve rolled up and ready to go by then. So we're really on track for that to happen. You know, we will see a lot of activity out there. We'll have some food trucks, you know, just what you would envision for a grand opening of a facility that size. We have our first tournament the weekend after that. Rotary, we are partnering with them. They are building a really cool timber frame picnic shelter right outside the, right near the splash pad and the cool new playground out there. Mm-hmm. We were hoping to have that as a ribbon cutting there. We'll be close, but so that weekend will be that, and then we'll have a Rotary tournament right after that for pickleball. And then we're going to have a huge Halloween event in there, costume party, all that. You know, there's a section of the pickleball court called the kitchen, and you're supposed to stay out of the kitchen as you're playing pickleball. It's a rule. And so the event is called the Haunted Kitchen to really push forward the fact that stay out of the haunted kitchen. But looking forward to that. We've been having Friday night events in there that are packed. We can play 56 people can play pickleball at once. So you get 60 people in there, and it is just a super fun event to have
you
that
get
many
like
people.
Four pickleball courts per
almost. We went just a little bit lower than that. And so there's a pickleball court between each tennis court and then a pickleball court on each tennis court. Mm-hmm. So there's 14 pickleball courts in there, which is 56 players. And our pickleball courts are set farther apart than most facilities, which is great. So people come in and they think they have a little more elbow room because a lot of these new facilities are just cramming these things right on top of each other because of the financials of, hey, we get more in here, we get more players, we get more members. So that's a nice thing about the James E. Russell is we do have a little bit more space in there. And we're starting there's a group in town called the Panhandle Pickleball Club. They're starting our first full league as well. So that will kick off here shortly. That starts on the 25th of September. So we've got a lot of programming going on. We will get some coaches in there launching some beginning pickleball, which takes me into the volunteer program. So we are going to have some extended hours available because if we can get people in later, get them in earlier, keep them in later, that's a benefit to our membership. And if those sessions can be run by volunteers, you know, come in, check people in, not really conduct the business of, you know, the facility, which we'll do in the normal 9 to 5 hours, we're going to have some extended time. And then those coaches will also be volunteers to come in and teach pickleball, teach tennis, do clinics, do skills and drills with the tennis players and that type of thing. And so we will roll that out here very shortly. We want that 100% up and running by that October date. So when we go live with the new schedule, the new hours, all of that, it will be part of our big launch party.
Mm-hmm. Then that's coming October
4th. October 4th. Yes. It will be our grand opening on that Saturday.
And what's the benefit of being a volunteer at the James
Russell Sports Center? Benefit of being a volunteer is you will get a membership to our facility. So as a volunteer who commits you know, a certain amount of hours per month, you will have a free membership and be able to play in there anytime you want for the cost of free.
Yeah, and that's one of the changes that we just rolled out on actually last week. As of last week, the members of the facility no longer pay a daily play fee. That was some of the feedback we got over the last 9 months was people just didn't like having to get in line and take out a card or cash and wait for change to pay their $3 or $5 drop-in fee. So now all members play for free whenever they come. Mm-hmm. And we have a non-member fee that is $8 presently, and on October 1st we'll bump up to $15. That's kind of the high season rate. So that it's always available for non-members to come in and play for that price of $15.
There's a seasonal rate. I didn't realize that.
We did in year one have a seasonal non-member rate. Mm-hmm. So during the summer months, that daily drop-in rate for non-members fell to $8. Mm-hmm. And we've seen a lot of people take advantage of that. We anticipate when that bumps up to $15, some of those people might just opt to join because then they pay $0 every time they come.
Is that $15 per person or per court?
Per person, yeah. Okay. $15 gets you, you know, you come in and play for a couple hours, 3 hours, however long you want to be there. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay, what else do you want to tell us about the JER?
A couple other things for this grand opening. The Sports Center is not the only parks project that is recently completed. The playground, which is a $1.2 million playground funded with a Land and Waterways Conservation Fund grant. So we got a 100% match, or I should say a 50% match for that project. amazing. It's turned out incredible. All summer long, that splash pad has just been packed. It's sometimes 40 kids are running around playing in the water there.
I've had my grandgirls on that.
Yeah.
And it's a ton of fun.
We've installed about a dozen benches made by the Kalispell Metalworks over in Usk, Washington. Beautiful benches with the City of Sandpoint logo on them. That same group is going to be fabricating some picnic tables for us, 5 or 6 picnic tables, which are going to go in the new Rotary picnic shelter. So there was an old picnic shelter installed in the mid-90s that was removed when the sports center was built. The goal was to rehabilitate that. But the problem was it was literally rotting from the inside. It was 30 years old. The Rotary Club asked us to not, please do not reinstall this decrepit old picnic shelter. So the Rotary Club has come together, raised some money. We're putting that money together with some parks funds. We've also got donations from HMH Engineering and Skyright Roofing. These are some great local businesses. Skyright's a new roofing company in town. They're doing an amazing metal roof for this structure. They're doing it pretty much at cost for the city. So they will be recognized as supporters of that shelter as well. The concrete pad for that shelter is being poured like today and tomorrow. If you go to Traverse Park, you'll see there's a fenced off area where we're preparing that 24 by 36 foot site. And soon we're waiting for the final engineering on the structure itself, but it's being built off site and it's going to go vertical in the next few weeks. I'd love to have it up by October 4th. I'm not making any promises, but before winter, we'll have a 850 square foot shaded picnic shelter there, timber frame, beautiful shelter. The other really cool project that's going to come up really soon is we're building a shade structure for the skate park. The skate park's been there 20 years now. We just doubled its size last year. And on the hot summer days, those kids are out there baking in the sun. We added lights so they can skate until 9 o'clock or 10 o'clock at night right now. But on hot days, there's really no escape from the heat there. So we've ordered a really cool cantilevered canopied shade structure that's being fabricated right now and is going to be delivered. We'll have that up hopefully before winter as well. If not, it'll be a spring installation. You don't really need shade in the winter anyway. Mm-hmm. And then the final project that's nearing completion is our new batting cages. North of the sports center, we're building. We had little league size batting cages before. They were only 50 feet long. The big leagues in town, the Sandpoint Sasquatch in high school, they wanted bigger batting cages. So we're going up to 70 feet, which is full size batting cages. That site has all been prepped and those will be built. They're going to have turf on them. They've actually got artificial turf inside the batting cages. Super high end, super nice, and they'll be ready for baseball season in the spring.
Mm-hmm. There's a batting cage at Memorial Field, right?
There are batting cages at Memorial Field as well. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So we're duplicating that to, we're adding two lanes, so there'll be double the amount of batting cages in town mm-hmm. when that project's nice. Done.
Well, I'll say Sandpoint High put the Memorial Field to good use last week.
Yeah.
Because they know the football guys knocked off of
I was there. That was awesome, exciting game. I missed it. Yeah, last 28 seconds left in the game, field goal. It was great.
To win.
Yeah, and then we hosted the Pondere Cup at Traverse Park and Great Northern Centennial. Hundreds and hundreds of kids are playing soccer all weekend on those fields. So our sports facilities get amazing use in this town. And, we believe the James E. Russell Sports Center is just going to expand those opportunities for those shoulder seasons, for the smoky days in the summer, and for the cold days in the winter as well.
Mm-hmm. Well, I want to turn to a different subject here in just a second. But, Ryan, you want to throw out anything else on the Sports Center or what you got going there? The volunteer program, we got an open house coming.
All of that.
New membership deal.
I have our first newsletter hot off the press here. And when I get back to the Sports Center, I will put this on our city website and on Facebook. And you guys can take a look at that. But we're excited to run. And as Jason said, we're about ready to enter the busy season here with winter. And I look forward to seeing everybody in there soon.
Mm-hmm. Cool. I do have one more ancillary question here. I remember when the plans were being put together to build it, there was a plan to put some sculptures up. They had a donor, and the sculptures were going to kind of mirror some of the Patrick McManus characters. Patrick McManus, of course, was a friend of James Russell. Is that still going to happen?
Yes, they have been there all year.
Oh, yeah.
Yep.
Well, where are they?
There's two bronze sculptures, one of a black bear. Okay. It's right at the entrance to the playground. And then overlooking the playground on a little knoll next to a slide is a sculpture of a mountain lion and its cub. And they're super cute. They're made by the same artist from Whidbey Island, Washington, who made the famous pig at the Pike Place Market.
Oh, okay.
And in fact, the artist came out and oversaw the installation. So it was really cool to get to meet this artist and see those sculptures installed earlier this year.
Well, I got to check those out. I was looking for them right in front of the James Russell Center.
No, they're integrated into the playground. And in fact, they're designed to be climbed on. So you'll see kids just sitting on the back of the mountain lion all the time.
Yeah, yeah, cool. All right. Well, go check that out because Patrick McManus, of course, was a Sandpoint native.
And I don't know if people know this, but he's buried on the Pinecrest Cemetery overlooking Traverse Park.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh,
cool. Yeah. I did not know that. It's great. It's really cool. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Well, in the remaining 4 minutes or so we have, I just wanted to touch on one other thing that's been in the news. And that's parking.
Sure.
Because Jason, you led a listening session, I guess, to get feedback from downtown business people on the idea that instituting paid parking on First Avenue and some of the blocks between First and Second would help encourage turnover and actually increase parking accessibility to our main street there. But tell us what happened and what you gleaned from the meeting as well as where you're headed with it now.
I'll be as quick as I can. So going back to 2022, the city did a professional engineering firm came in and did a week-long examination during peak season of our parking utilization downtown. That revealed that there was very low turnover and very long average stay durations in our two-hour zones. Half the vehicles in our two-hour zones are staying for 5 hours or more. Okay. So one of the recommendations that came out of that study was that we implement paid parking on certain blocks downtown to encourage turnover and make parking more accessible for those customers, for those First Avenue businesses.
No, so, not as a revenue generator.
No, the goal had nothing to do with raising money for the city. It was to encourage turnover and provide greater access for customers for First Avenue businesses. Mm-hmm. So in our parking management plan that went to City Council at the end of June, that was included in the proposal. But of course, any project like this, effort like this, requires great community outreach. So the next step was to engage local businesses in that conversation. So we sent out 115 letters to every business from Pine to Poplar, and about 40 of them showed up on Monday this week.
Monday morning, around 40
businesses showed up to the Marigold Bistro, and we presented the data, the information from the 2022 study, talked about some ideas around paid parking, you know, possibly seasonal paid parking, dynamic pricing so that we achieve an effective utilization of those spaces. The goal was not to raise money, but despite the good intentions, I think, of the proposal, downtown business owners were not thrilled in the least of the idea of any form of paid parking in front of their businesses.
And they thought that would really chill the locals from using the downtown.
They believed that locals would not come downtown to shop. They would opt for, you know, Pondere locations where, of course, despite emphasizing that it was just really just one block that we were talking about, First Avenue, you could go to Second or Third and find free parking. It was not a popular proposal. So, staff listened. We, of course, that's what we were there to do. I mean, this was to get feedback on a proposal that had been presented to council from the businesses that would be affected. So I will be providing that feedback to council at the next meeting a week from today. Mm-hmm. And, you know, staff's recommendation will probably be to focus on enforcement of our existing time limits rather than changing to a paid parking system in those zones. The parking management plan does include parking permits and paid parking in our off-street parking facilities. As you know, we spent $500,000 resurfacing the city parking lot this year. The goal is to achieve a sustainable funding mechanism to maintain those in the future. And we do want to focus on our off-street parking facilities, so our parking lots downtown in this parking management plan going forward. But based on feedback we received from the First Avenue business owners and some other downtown business owners, just the thought of paid street parking was not something they were going to support in the least.
Okay. Yeah, I was there, and I did not hear support.
No.
And the good news is everyone listened to each other, so.
Yeah, that's what we were there to do. Yeah. You know, I mean, we were never planning to ram anything down anybody's throat. The whole point was to engage with the stakeholders who would be affected and hear what they had to say about these proposals.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, Jason Welker and Ryan Wells, thank you guys for coming in. Great to catch up on what's happening with the James E. Russell Sports Center. It's pretty exciting, actually.
Yeah. I'll watch for you to pop up on that app here soon. And
yeah, I just downloaded the app.
All right.
So, yeah.
Thank you.
And there is an opportunity to join the James E. Russell Center as a guest in that app. So you can see the calendar and you can know when you can come in and play.
Okay.
Even if you're not a member, you can join as a guest.
And that's called Court Reserve. And I downloaded it while we were talking here. So it's pretty easy to get to. If you just go to wherever it is, you get your apps.
Perfect.
Thank you for joining us today.
Yeah, thank you guys very much.